Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for my annual trip to the gym.
You only go once a year?
Yep. Arrive. I have no clue what to do. Try some random exercises. Leave. That's it.
You should try Fitbod. It's an app that builds a workout routine just for you, based on your goals, fitness level, and equipment. And a whole year of Fitbod costs less than one session with a trainer.
Wow. This has already been my most productive gym trip yet.
Download Fitbod today and get a 14-day free trial plus 25% off your subscription when you go to fitbod.me/getfit.
Every business wants to engineer new possibilities, creating revenue, optimizing costs, and scaling technologies like cloud and AI. Start at Deloitte.com/US/cloud and find the services you need to get the value you seek. Deloitte.
Welcome to the Fandrax Toolshed. If you love Dynasty Leagues and prospects, you came to the right place because that's what this show is all about. Covering the majors and all levels of the minor leagues to give you the leg up in your Dynasty Leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
All right, Dynasty and Prospect fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 27 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clegg and Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have a really fun episode in store for you all today. But before we get into the episode, we have a roster announcement to make. After being placed on the paternity list earlier in the week, Chris Clegg, a.k.a. Mr. Proud Papa, is being activated without missing a start, or in this case, a podcast. Chris, man, welcome to fatherhood, bud. How are you doing?
Oh, man. Thanks so much. I'm doing well. I'm a little tired, but we're getting there. We're getting through. It's been fantastic, and it's good to be back from the paternity list. Happy to be back, even though we didn't miss, like you said, didn't miss a start, so we're doing pretty good.
That is dedication right there.
3 day old, but hey, we're doing great.
The next top prospect, Hayden Clegg, to go along with Brady Cross. But yeah, I like to think that you and your wife arranged it this way. You're like, all right, let's go in middle of the week, a Toolshed podcast here. I know that's not how, and that's not the reasoning, but I like to think that you're just that dedicated that you would plan the birth of your child around podcasts.
But, oh yeah, of course.
That's awesome, man. Happy, so happy for you.
Thank you. Said,
fatherhood's the best thing I ever did with my life. And, you know, I'm a dad above all else. So I'm happy that you and your wife have started your family as well. Some of the housekeeping here before we get into our show. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. Please subscribe to our podcast. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or on your preferred podcasting platform. Those ratings and reviews mean a lot. And please check out our Patreon for extra written content from both of us, bonus podcasts, private Discord access, access to our live prospect and dynasty rankings, custom rankings, and much more. These perks are available across 4 different tiers, starting at just $5. Or if you just want to thank and support Chris and I, you can do so for just $1 a month. Sign up today at patreon.com/FantraxToolshed. And make sure to head on over to FantraxHQ.com for all the great content we have pumping out there every single day. And check out all the other great shows on the network, including my other show, 5Tool, and SP Streamer. 3 great baseball podcasts to help you each week. All right, let's get into this week's episode. Last week, we went through our top position players at every position 5 years out. And now we're going to do the same with pitchers, ranking our top 50 pitchers 5 years out with some dark horse picks added in as well. These are all purely speculative, obviously, but it's certainly a fun exercise looking into the future. And this could be especially helpful for someone rebuilding for the future that isn't going to be contending for a few years. These are some guys you try to trade for. So hopefully this helps somebody out there. That's always what we try to do here, is be as helpful as possible. So let's get right into it. We're going to break this up kind of into 4 different segments here. We'll do our top 10, a little bit of discussion, 11 through 20, a little more discussion, 21 through 35, and then 36 through 50. And there are some notable omissions and dark horses in at the end. But let's get right into it, Chris. Who is your top 10 5 years out?
All right. So Shane Bieber checks in at 1. He's currently my number 1. So can't really go wrong there. So young, so talented. And I think that he sticks and keeps that spot. Seeing no reason why he should falter off. So Shane Bieber at 1, Walker Buehler at 2, Corbin Burns 3, Gerrit Cole at 4, Lucas Giolito at 5, Brandon Woodruff 6, Tyler Glasnow 7, Zach Gallen 8, Jacob deGrom 9, and Aaron Nola rounding out the top 10. What about you? What's your top 10?
I have the same exact top 3, slightly different order. I have Bieber at 1. Like you mentioned, he's only 26 right now, and he'll be 31 when we get to this, you know, mythical point here we're talking about. And I think like the age 30, 31, 32 range kind of equates to like the 26, 27, 28 range for hitters, where I don't think of him as that old. Like, I don't think of a 31-year-old pitcher as being that old. Like, think of a 31-year-old hitter, I'm like, okay, that's a little older. But, you know, these pitchers are still very much in their primes then. So I don't think he'll have any fall off, and he'll still be absolutely dominant. So he's my number 1. My 2 and 3 from you is flip-flop. I have Corbin Burns 2, Walker Buehler at 3. And after 3 is where it got really interesting for me. I have Jacob deGrom 4, Gerrit Cole 5, Zach Gallen 6, Mackenzie Gore 7, Ian Anderson 8, Lucas Giolito 9, and my boy Nate Pearson at 10. Let's start with Jacob deGrom here, because I have him 4, you have him 9. He was really hard to rank for me because deGrom is already 32. He'll be 37 here. So ranking a 37-year-old as number 4 pitcher is a little risky. I get that, but I kept him at 4 just because he doesn't have the innings of a 32-year-old. He has the innings of like a 27, 28-year-old. That's kind of how I thought of it. So I don't think he'll be, you know, like, you know, Clayton Kershaw falling off or Max Scherzer or Felix Hernandez, someone like that when he's 37. But I think he'll be kind of equate to being like a 33, 34-year-old at that point, because like you mentioned, the innings aren't there. He just seems to get stronger and stronger with every single season that passes, to the point where he's striking out like 14 every start now. Like his start against the Red Sox the other day, he didn't have his ace. I was watching that game. He didn't have his A stuff. He probably had his B-minus stuff. He still went 6 innings, gave up 1 run, 9 Ks. Like, that was a down Jacob deGrom start, and it's still a 1.5 ERA, you know, 1.5 Ks per 9, or Ks per inning, I should say. So with me, I still had confidence he'll be a top 5 arm. What was your kind of mindset going through where you ranked Jacob deGrom, just due to the age, the innings, and everything going on with him?
Yeah, I think you bring up a valid point because the innings are so low. He's got 1,204 career innings under his belt. And when you think about, you know, that's not really much at all. So 37-year-old currently Zach Greinke has almost 3,000 innings. Verlander, 2,988. He's the most active innings. And then you look at guys like, all right, so Madison Bumgarner, who's 31, he has 1,918 innings. So 1,918 innings, that's pretty, I mean, see, when you see this in speculation and compare it to DeGrom, he's doing really good in comparison. And you look at some of the guys that are close to him on active innings pitched, and you've got Bauer, who's 3 years younger, who's ahead of him, actually. You know, Patrick Corbin's ahead of him, and he's younger. Chris Archer, who seems like he should be older than Jacob DeGrom, has more innings. So, you know, when you look at the mileage on his arm, it's not that much. And like you've mentioned, he's gotten stronger every season. He continues to get better. And I see no reason that'll slow down. And with like Max Scherzer, for instance, I think even to like up to last year, I think we valued him as probably a top 10 dynasty arm, even though he was getting older and up there. And he's tailed off a little bit, but he's had some injuries, some other things that have kind of hampered him. But I see DeGrom sustaining. It's hard to say, like, as a dynasty pitcher, we'll be able to rank him this high then. But I think he can still pitch to this caliber 5 years down the road. I think he's more than capable of it.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And kind of have the same mindset with Gerrit Cole. He's about a year and a half or so younger, a little more mileage, though, on that arm. But just with how much of a workhorse he's been, I kind of feel like he's the next, you know, like Max Scherzer, that's still going to be absolutely dominant at age 34, 35, 36. Are you kind of in the same line of thinking?
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you look at Cole's been particularly good and he's gotten better as his career's gone on. He has the stuff that can really sustain. So now I'm not worried about him tailing off either. He's got more innings under his belt than DeGrom, but again, not overly worried. I think that he can sustain. He'll be 35, like you mentioned, 5 years down the road. I still see him being a solid arm, and I see no reason why he shouldn't be a top 10 arm at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's just such a workhorse, and, you know, clean mechanics, you know, clean everything with him, the fluid motions. I just don't see any tail off with Gerrit Cole. I think he's just going to be an absolute stud year in, year out for at least the next five. Maybe he'll start tailing off years six and seven from now when he's 37, 38, kind of like Scherzer has a little bit, even though Scherzer's still pretty damn good. But yeah, I don't anticipate Cole falling off much at all. You know, maybe he's a back end top 10 arm at worst. I just don't see him falling any lower than that. A couple other interesting names here. First for me, that I had that Chris did not. Three in particular, I have Mackenzie Gore, 7, Ian Anderson, 8, and Nate Pearson at 10. Pearson, obviously, I've been higher on than most, but I just see if he can stay healthy, which obviously that has been an issue. various injuries, he's coming back from a groin issue now. He's had a broken forearm. As long as he can stay healthy, the stuff, the two double plus pitches, he has the elite strikeout stuff to be a top 10 type of fantasy arm, 30%+ K rate. He was, I think, over 32% in the minor leagues, you know, double plus fastball, double plus slider, you know, changeup and curveball, at least average flash above at times. So if he can, especially if he can kind of harness those other two offerings more, and maybe he develops one and two a plus third pitch, maybe the changeup, we'll say. I think he'll definitely be up there. And I think he can be, if he can get past his health issues, I think he can be a potential work. He has a workhorse type of frame. He's very, very strong frame, very athletic frame. So I think he could be that type of top 10 arm. And then for you, Chris, you have Tyler Glasnow in here. It's kind of the same thing, like elite stuff. And we've talked about Glasnow a lot, but are you confident that he'll be able to get enough innings every year and stay healthy enough to kind of achieve top 10 status year in, year out?
I think so. And I think, you know, when we're looking 5 years down the road, I think it's easy to project. It's hard to project injuries. You know, Glasnow's had an injury history. He's had, you know, lower innings count, which, you know, is concerning, but I'm hoping that he can put that past him. I mean, the stuff this year has been absolutely incredible. The jump that he's made has been absolutely stellar. And I think that continues. I really do. He's still young. I mean, currently right now he's 27. So he'll finish out this year and he'll turn 28 at the end of the season. So I think he's more than capable of sustaining this kind of performance at a high level, especially, You know, he's got a solid frame as long as he can stay healthy. The arm is good. You know, the only worry is guys that throw the fastball that hard can potentially see some injuries. And I hope that, you know, that won't be the thing with Glasnow, but the talent level's more than there. He's more than capable of doing this. And I mean, I think I've got him as a top 10 dynasty arm right now, and don't see a reason to not have him in the top 10 moving forward, especially 5 years down the road, even at his age. And if he'll be 33 then, yeah, not overly, or he'll be 32 then, I'm not overly worried about it.
Yeah, no, I can never see that. Lastly here in this section, I put Mackenzie Gore at 7. That was a tough ranking. He was one of the more tougher pitchers to rank here. So we've heard some things about, and he had the yips, but then that wasn't really backed up. And it sounds more like it's some mechanical issues here, a little bit of command and control issues. But at the same time, when you were a plus command, plus control type, what does command and control issues mean? That you're just average in those now? Like, I don't think all of a sudden he's like below average, can't find the zone. I don't think this is like a Forrest Whitley situation here. So I'm still confident in Mackenzie Gore long-term. Item 7, I won't give it away, but Chris has him in the next section we'll be talking about here. You know, are you just long-term, are you concerned about Gore, or do you think he's just going to figure it out?
I'm not. I mean, he was one of the best high school pitchers that we've ever seen. Then in the minor leagues, he was absolutely dominant. I'm not overly concerned. If you're listening and you're nervous about the report about the yips, please take that with a grain of salt. And I hate to say that, but there was no kind of backing of that. And the more I've listened to people talk, the more it's just struggling with command. So take the yips with a grain of salt, throw it out of your brain. Struggles with command is fine, because at one point he was like a 70 grade command type pitcher. And right. So like you said, What does that mean? Does that mean he's like looking like average command? He's struggling a little bit. You know, that's okay. He can get that back. And I think this minor league season will kind of be telling. And I think it'll give him a chance to rebound and get back on track. So no, I'm not overly concerned. I think he'll rebound. And if you're listening to this, please just calm down, take a breath. He'll be fine. Don't go sell low on him. We've gotten so many questions about this. Take your time with him. And Dynasty League is about the long haul. You don't sell low on a pitcher like this who's got elite upside just because of a report that I won't even say is 100% true. So take it with a grain of salt. Take a deep breath. He'll be okay. Let him earn some value back. If you want to trade him, don't trade him now. That's all I'm saying.
No, totally agree. And a young pitcher dealing with some command issues, that's not, you know, that's very common. That's not very out there for something to happen like that. Like, and so a lot of these names we're talking about tonight have gone through their command and control issues that they've had to work through. Corbin Burns had to work through those. Ian Anderson had to work through those. You know, guys like that. Tyler Glasnow has had to work through those. So it is not that uncommon for a young pitcher to be going through these types of issues at some point. And Gore is still only, what, 21? I don't know if he's even 22 yet. I'm looking up right now. If he's 22, it's not. He just turned 22. And he is 22. So he looks still very young. And San Diego hasn't really had to rush him because they've had so many other options at the major league level. So everyone's like, oh, where's Mackenzie Gore? And getting worried about him, thinking that this, you know, there's something more that is not being said here. I just don't think they want to rush him. So again, I completely agree with everything Chris just said. You know, don't sell him right now. If you can buy low, absolutely do so, because I think Mackenzie Gore is going to be just fine. And I think my ranking of him here inside my top 10 kind of backs that up. All right, moving on to 11 through 20. So my 11 through 20 here is Tyler Glasnow, Brandon Woodruff, Aaron Nola, Shohei Ohtani, who was probably the hardest one to rank on this entire list at 14, Jesus Luzardo, 15, Sixto Sanchez, 16, Dustin May, 17, who unfortunately just got injured today, Sandy Alcantara, 18, or yesterday, excuse me, Alcantara, 18, Matt Manning, 19, and Jack Flaherty at 20. Chris, what's your 11 through 20 here?
Well, I'm starting out with Jack Flaherty at 11, Trevor Bauer at 12, which was another tough one to rank, Gore at 13, like I mentioned, not concerned, Jack Leiter at 14, Max Meyer at 15, Ian Anderson, 16th, Jesus Luzardo, 17th, 18, Sandy Alcantara, same rankings there, George Kirby at 19, and Shohei Ohtani rounding out at number 20.
Let's start with Ohtani, because we both kind of said that he was incredibly hard to rank, and let me just put this, you know, asterisk out there or caveat, whatever. I'm ranking him as a dual eligible player. I know some of you out there, you know, have him, you know, on Yahoo, for instance, or I think ESPN has the same, or CBS, I forget, as two different players. I'm ranking him here as a dual eligible player. If he was pitcher only.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He'd be much lower. Because I'm so worried about his command and control, which has not gotten better during his time in the States. It's maybe even gotten worse. Like this year, he has a 21% walk rate this year. Even in his rookie year, where it was the best it's ever been, it was 10.4%, which is still kind of not. When you get up over 10, that's when it starts getting a little worrisome. So he was really tough to rank here. What went into your process, Chris, for ranking Ohtani? Are you as concerned about his command and control? Like, if he was pitcher only, where would you have him? Would he even make your top 50?
I don't know. We kind of discussed this before we started recording. I initially did not have him ranked from just a pure pitcher standpoint, because I do have concerns that he actually stays on the mound long term. He's elite. Like, he's an elite athlete. He's an elite baseball player. He's fantastic at doing both things, but I'm wondering if doing both things is hindering him from, you know, becoming elite at just one. And I think that one would be hitting. He's only thrown 13 innings this year. The numbers are fine. I mean, he has a 3.29 ERA, which is great. Like you mentioned, the command control's not really there. He's almost walking a batter per inning, which is rough. And it's holding down his whip. The strikeout rate is really good at 37%. So things you like to see, but honestly, he might be a great reliever. Like, could he be a closer, hit the whole game and then close out the game in the ninth? Like, he's got the stuff for it. And it wouldn't surprise me if he could really excel in that role. I don't know. It's tough. Like you said, we ranked him from the standpoint of a dual eligible player, not just pitcher only. He does have upside as a pitcher, but he's got a lot of more upside hitting, in my opinion. I mean, you look at what he's done this year, and he's got 8 home runs and 4 stolen bases, a .271 average. It's quite impressive, over 102 plate appearances. So you got to love that. And I don't know. I could see them just making him a hitter long term, but I think they want to try as long as they can for a dual eligible player. So we'll see how it ends up. I really have no clue. Like, 5 years out on him, 5 years out is hard to predict on a lot of guys, and especially somebody like this. So it makes it tough. He's capable of being a starter, but who even knows? You know, that makes it tough.
Yeah, you look at the stats this year, 13 walks, 6 hits allowed. I don't remember. I don't think, honestly, I don't think for any starter, I don't think there's ever been a season where a starter allowed twice as many walks as they did hits. And that's even uncommon to have a pitcher allow more walks than hits in general. And that might happen this year with Ohtani. He's walking nearly a batter per inning, 13 and 13 and two thirds. Yeah, he still has an ERA of 3.29. Like, imagine if that command and control just improved to even where it was back in his rookie year, when that walk rate was a hair above 10%. He'd be so damn good. I forget, someone said, I got to go back and try to find the quote I saw a few days ago, that someone basically said that Ohtani has the same type of upside on the mound as Jacob DeGrom if he had better command and control. I don't fully agree with that, but I kind of can see where that person, again, I forget who it was coming from. It's because the pure stuff, like the splitter is filthy, you know, the fastball velocity, the breaking pitches, they're all very, very good. If he could just kind of harness them more, he'd be definitely highly effective pitcher, but that just hasn't really happened since his rookie year. And even, like I said, even then it wasn't that great. So yeah, he's definitely one of the more interesting ones here to rank. A few other here that were intriguing from this range. Positively though, got two guys that you have in this range, I have in the next range, but we'll talk about them here. As we have a lot more talking points in the next range. Jack Leiter, you have at 14, And then George Kirby for you snuck in at 19. Let's start with Leiter here, who obviously is the, you know, probably the number one pick in this upcoming year's draft. You got to figure after he gets drafted, probably, you know, probably won't take too long to get to the major leagues. So at this point, he'll probably be in year three, year two, year three, something like that. So you have a, you're pretty confident that he can be a fantasy ace within the first couple of years of his career. Why is that?
I mean, you just look at the stuff. You look at his fastball, which I think is arguably a 70 grade pitch. And you look at just kind of the, some of the parts. I mean, there's some command concerns. I wouldn't say there's big command concerns here, but he's just uber talented. You know, he gave up two home runs the other day to Judd Fabian, which I think goes to show you Fabian's skill level, who struggled this year. Fabian's had some real struggles this year, but Leiter's insanely talented. I mean, even after, I wouldn't say a rough start, his numbers are still right in line with Kumar Rocker, who's the other top college arm in this class, where, you know, he's more than capable of going one overall as well. But Leiter, just when you look at him, he's got the pedigree, when he's got the bulldog mentality on the mound, he has everything that you want to see, and he does it really well. There, people will tell you they're concerned about his frame. I'm not worried about his frame at all, because you see pitchers that are 6 foot tall that excel all the time. And I think that he's definitely capable of doing that. You know, he's got a great arsenal. I mentioned the fastball being arguably a 70 grade pitch, which was up from last year. Like, I already liked Leiter over Rocker prior to the season, but when he's added that velocity to his fastball, man, it's hard to argue with what he's done and what he can do. And he's a little younger. I mean, he just turned 21. So it'll be interesting. He's a draft eligible sophomore this year. So how much of a fast track will he be on? Like I said, I think, you know, Eric said he's more than capable of being in year two or three at this point. So look at Max Meyer from last year's draft class. They're starting him out in double A, which is awesome to see. You know, they're being really aggressive with him, and I don't see why they wouldn't be, you know, whoever, assuming Leiter goes one, who knows? I mean, I think he's more than capable of really taking that step and being an ace pretty early on in his career.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I don't have Leiter too much further down on my list. And one guy that, you know, I'm trying to think of a comp for Jack Leiter. This isn't the perfect comp. I don't think there are any perfect comps out there. Let me just say that. But one guy that I kind of see a little bit of in him, Walker Buehler, you know, another former Vanderbilt guy. Obviously, with Buehler, the breaking stuff is obviously a little more developed than Leiter at this point. I think Buehler had better breaking stuff back then. But I think if Leiter can kind of take that breaking stuff to the next level, I think you could see another Walker Buehler type. And Buehler's not that big either. I think he's got an inch or two on Leiter. I think Buehler's like 6'1", 6'2", but he's not a big guy. He's not a Garrett Cole, Lance Lynn, you know, Clayton Kershaw type size guy. He's one, you know, on the smaller side, or, you know, a little over 6 feet. So, but so this, the arm motion, arm speed, I should say, I should kind of see that same thing with Buehler as I do with Jack Leiter. So definitely like that a lot here.
You know who he's very similar to is Sonny Gray, who's also another Vanderbilt product.
That They're is, yeah.
Very similar. Those, they've got a similar windup, and, you know,
those Vandy guys.
Yep. They're just built different there.
It's a pitching factory. Yep. In Vanderbilt. Listen, David Price came out of Vanderbilt. I'm sure there's like 100 more I'm forgetting off the top of my head, but
yeah, Vanderbilt is a factory.
Absolutely. And I'm honest, you know, obviously that Buehler got into a great system with the Dodgers, and we'll see if Leiter goes one, that means he's going to Pittsburgh. So not as great of a system, but on the up and up. So hopefully they don't screw him up. That would be unfortunate if they screwed up Jack Leiter, or, you know, screwed him up and then traded him away. And then he becomes an ace like every other Pittsburgh Pirates pitching prospect that gets traded away does, like Joe Musgrove and Garrett Cole and who else? There's another one. Nah, I forget.
Glasnow.
Thank you. I was three of them. I was forgetting Glasnow. Everyone that gets traded out of Pittsburgh just gets 100 times better, or just because they get to a system that realizes how to use them is probably the better way to put it there. Another one here you had at 19, George Kirby. I so wanted to put Kirby higher than I did, and I'm not gonna give away my Kirby ranking here. So I have him in the next group. I wanted to put him a lot higher because if anybody could be the next Bieber, and this, again, it's not a direct comp, it's going to be Kirby. When you have that type of stuff, that type of command and control profile, the sky is the limit. So I almost hate myself for not ranking him higher than I did. But you're all in on George Kirby here. So with Kirby, he'll probably be in year at least four, probably maybe be up this year, if not in 2022, in the early part of that season. Do you think there's even that a next level? Do you think he could be a fantasy ace by this point in time? I think he could.
Yeah, there's definitely an argument for it. I'm kind of disappointed that the Mariners are starting him out in high A. He's 23. Yeah,
that was kind of odd.
Yeah, I get that he's behind Gilbert. Like, I thought he was maybe 6 months to a year behind Gilbert, but Gilbert's in AAA, Kirby down in high A. I don't love it, but maybe he just dominates and works his way up pretty quick. I don't think he debuts this year, but it wouldn't surprise me to see him early next season. And you mentioned his fastball is so stinking good. I mean, when you command the ball as well as he does, I think that he's probably got 70 grade command. And when you've got a fastball that gets up to 99, golly, man.
When you have that velocity and you can put it where you want to, basically at ease.
Yep.
That's a scary combination.
Yep. It's nuts. And Chris Welsh, our buddy, he was out at the backfields the other day. I guess it was a couple weeks ago at this point. And he got some film of Kirby throwing. He was sitting 98 to 100, which is insane. He faced eight batters through two innings and struck out six of them. Two team errors is the report that Welsh put out. He did allow a home run to Justin Foscue, who's a big prospect riser, I think, this year. He's looked really good so far. But, man, Kirby has been really, really good so far. I think that he'll dominate the minors and really just work his way up. But, man, that's insane. There was a rumor he hit 102 in that outing. That's insanity when you are that good, when you command the ball that well. And his secondaries are good, too. He's got – I think the slider is developing. I think the curveball is at least above average pitch, and the changeup has potential to be above average. So, man, the talent level is immense. And I've been aggressive on him as a prospect for a while, and I think I may even be low on him. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to be a top 20 pitcher.
Yeah, like I said, I kind of wish I ranked him higher than I did. I don't have him too much lower. He's in the next group of pitchers here we'll be talking about after the break, but yeah, these are the guys you bank on. These are the guys you go all in on because these are guys that work out more often than not, like the high floor, high ceiling guys, where there's a lot of other prospects we'll be talking about that have similar ceilings to a guy like George Kirby, but not many that have the same type of floor. So those are the guys you really, really bank on that just have the stuff, have the command and control, and maybe they don't have the elite upside. At least you don't think they do. Like, I never thought Shane Bieber had like elite upside. I thought he was like, all right, he's going to be a pretty good mid rotation guy. But I wish I had this mindset now that I have when, Bieber was kind of at the same level as Kirby is now, where I'm like, I should rank Bieber a lot higher because the command and control and the stuff is just so good. And yeah, you've seen the reports on Kirby this year. The stuff's even gotten better. The fastball's gotten better. Yeah, so the sky is the limit for a guy like George Kirby, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's top 10 at this point in, 2026 or so when we're drafting our teams then. Would not surprise me if he's in that range where we're drafting Giolito and Gallen and guys like that this year. One last name in this range here, Jesus Luzardo. Off to a not great start this season. Six starts so far, 5.79 ERA. 161 whip. K rate is 23.6%, which is a hair above league average, but not the circuit what you want from a guy like Luzardo. You probably want that, a good 5% or so higher in the upper 20s from a guy you drafted as your number two in most cases this year. But, the underlying skills are still, there. The command and control profile is still pretty good, even though the walk rate has jumped to 9.4%. That's very un-Luzardo-like. He's never been a 9.5 walk rate guy. He's always been 5 to 6%. And he showed that in his first 2 years, 6.5, 6.9%. I think that's where he is long-term. But I wonder, if the K rate, if it's going to stick around 24% or so, then maybe this is, a bit too high for him. But this year, I'm not too worried right now. I'd buy low if possible, especially now that he fractured his pinky. He'll be out for a little bit playing video games, which is the most David Price. I said this on 5-2 earlier when we were recording. This is a David Price injury. Fracturing your pinky while playing video games screams David Price. But anyway, you know, I'm still all in on Lizardo long term. This year, the sinker has been the issue. Like, his command on the sinker has been all over the place. He's commanding his curveball very well, changeup very well. Four seamer has been all right, but the sinker's been getting hit hard. 343 batting average against. You know, he's not getting really any whiffs on it. It's a 514 slugging. You know, he's already allowed a lot of barrels on that pitch as well, even though the velocity is only down a little bit. So it's not really a velo issue. It's more of a command issue, leaving the sinker up a lot, which is not good. Are you worried at all about Lizardo long-term? I think I have him ranked. Where do I have him ranked? 15. You have him 17. So I don't think you're too worried long-term, but what are your thoughts on Lizardo so far this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a rough year, as you mentioned. It's not the results we expected. I thought he'd take the next step forward after last year. Last year was just kind of a meh year. I mean, through 60 innings, 4.12 ERA, 1.27 whip, strikeout per nine. Good walk rate, but you've seen that walk rate tick up this year. I think that he comes back around. I'm not overly concerned, but I just wonder, like, because I originally thought he had, like, borderline SP1 upside. I'm wondering if that was a little wrong, and I'm wondering if he'll just be like a maybe a back end two. We'll see. I'm not overly concerned. I think he gets back on track. Hopefully he gets healthy. But again, he's still young. He's 23 years old. So there's plenty of time ahead of him for him to figure it out. And we got to remember that most pitchers don't really hit peak until like 27 or 28. So there's a lot of room for him to grow, a lot of time for him to develop. So no, I'm not overly worried.
And he'll be peak. He's 23 now, so he'll be peak right in this time frame we're talking about here. So, yeah, I'm still pretty high on Lizardo here. I want to see that K rate tick back up. He has the stuff to do so. Like, he has a good changeup. He has a good breaking ball. Like you mentioned, the command on both those pitches has been pretty solid this year. Like, you look at, you know, the heat maps on those two pitches. They're kind of right where you want them to be. I think he just needs to get that sinker back to being a better pitch than it is now, kind of keeping that lower in the zone. He likes to work his fastball higher in the zone than he does his sinker. So I think he's got the stuff to get that K rate back up to kind of where we thought it would be and where it was his rookie year. Rookie year was 34.8. Maybe that's a little high, but I think he can get back up into that high 20s range, 28, 29%, which is, you know, getting up into the elite territory. So yeah, I'm still in on Walker Buehler, something you are as well. So if you can buy low right now, especially with the injury that he suffered today, I definitely would look to do so. All right, let's take a quick break here. We got through our top 20. We'll come back on the other side and get through the rest of our top 50. So stick with us.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship.
The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Welcome back from the break. We're talking our top 50 pitchers 5 years out. We already went through our top 20. And to recap, I guess you forgot, Chris's top 20, Shane Bieber, Walker Buehler, Corbin Burns, Garrett Cole, Lucas Giolito, Brendan Woodruff, Tyler Glasnow, Zach Gallen, Jacob deGrom, Aaron Nola, Jack Flaherty, Trevor Bauer, Mackenzie Gore, Jack Leiter, Max Meyer, Ian Anderson, Jesus Luzardo, Sandy Alcantara, George Kirby, and Shohei Ohtani. My top 20 was Shane Bieber, Corbin Burns, Walker Buehler, Jacob deGrom, Garrett Cole, Zach Gallen, Mackenzie Gore, Ian Anderson, Lucas Giolito, Nate Pearson, Tyler Glasnow at 11, Brendan Woodruff, Aaron Nola, Shohei Ohtani, Jesus Luzardo, Sixto Sanchez, Dustin May, Sandy Alcantara, Matt Manning, and Jack Flaherty. Let's go through our pitchers ranked 21 through 35. Chris, who you got?
All right. So starting at 21, I've got Logan Gilbert, another Mariners pitching prospect I mentioned. 22, Luis Castillo. 23, Sixto Sanchez. 24, Jack Leiter's teammate, Kumar Rocker. 25, Asa Lacy. 26, Emerson Hancock. 27, Nate Pearson. 28, Trevor Rogers. 29, Joe Musgrove. 30, Dustin May. 31, Blake Snell. 32, Jose Barrios. 33, Mike Soroka. 34, Luis Severino. And 35, Freddy Peralta.
And this is the range where you start seeing a lot of different, not a lot, but more different names. And you'll see a lot of different names. 36 to 50 for us. Just looking at our sheet right now, because this was really, really difficult to do. We originally were going to do top 25, and then that was just too tough. All the names you had to leave off. So we bumped it to 50. So this is very difficult. So you see some different names here. For me, I have Jack Leiter at 21, Emerson Hancock 22, Kumar Rocker, Asa Lacy, Max Meyer at 25, Luis Castillo, Trevor Bauer, Logan Gilbert, Blake Snell, Jose Barrios, Michael Kopech, Lance McCullers Jr., Max Fried, Joe Musgrove, and then there's George Kirby at 35, who I'm already regretting not ranking higher. A lot of interesting names in this section. Let's start off with one that's been in the news recently and not for a good reason. Dustin May, who was absolutely cruising to start this year, put on the IL with shoulder arm issue. They haven't really come out and said exactly what it is yet, because I don't think they fully know what is the exact issue with Dustin May. They just know it's in that upper arm shoulder area. And he was put on the IL, and sounds like he'll get some further evaluation today on Monday with an MRI. Let's start with that though first, because he was really looking good this year. Like with Dustin May, I've been a little lower than most on May, but I kind of explained my reasoning behind that, and you know, basically said if that K rate ticks up, if the pitch mix changes, he will move up my rankings. So I think that'll, you know, be a big indicator of his long term success, and that's exactly what he's done this year. He's always been filthy, but with fantasy purposes, you need the strikeouts. You can't be an elite fantasy arm toiling around a 20% strikeout rate, which is what he was in the first 2 years of his career. 22.7% in 2019, 19.6% in 2020. This year, it's jumped all the way to 38%, which is top 7% of the league. That I don't think is sustainable. But when you look at the pitch mix change he had this year, he's dropped the sinker usage by around 12% or so. The cutter's actually gone down as well, about 6%, even though the cutter is a lethal pitch for him so far. 154 batting average against, 51.5% whiff rate. And then his curveball, which is, I think that's the big thing here. I wanted to see him throw more curveballs because he has a good curveball. He changed the shape of it a little bit. And now it's gone up to a 45.2% whiff rate, has yet to allow a hit on it. Everything, his actual, but on it's 0.56. It's a super, super high spin rate curveball, 31.76, 32.7% put away rate. So those two pitchers have been absolutely lethal for him this year. Combines to throw those around 40% of the time. Four seamer has been pretty solid, but the sinker, even though it has elite movement, has been hit around 297 batting average against, 568 slug. So I had him a little higher. I had him within my top 20 because I believe this K-rate jump is for real, or at least mostly for real. Chris has him in this range. Chris, you know, outside of the injuries, hopefully this is just a minor thing and he'll get back on track here in, you know, a few weeks or a month and a half or so. What have been your thoughts on Dustin May this year with the pitch mix change? And do you believe that, you know, he can be a fantasy ace type guy if this continues?
I don't know if I'll go to that level, but I think he can be really solid SP2. I think the biggest thing that you mentioned is the drop in his sinker usage. And this is the same trend that Aaron Nola kind of did. And Nola early in his career was heavy sinkers, low strikeouts. And as Nola used his sinker less and less, we saw the strikeout numbers tick up. And this is the same path I want Mike Soroka to follow also, who's pretty sinker heavy. I'd love to see Soroka follow this path and using the sinker less and pitch more for strikeouts, because I think sinkers kind of are ground ball type pitches. Like that's kind of what you go for with the sinker. And when you're using it near 50% of the time, I think that's a little heavy. And so, you know, last year we see May's sinker usage at 51.4%, this year at 39.3%. That's definitely encouraging. He's used the curveball more, the four seam up more. And so those are the things you like to see with it. I mean, the curveball is his primary strikeout pitch. The four seam is also a solid strikeout pitch. And so I'm encouraged. I definitely am. Last year, I thought he was just a pretty gifable pitcher. And, you know, one of those guys everybody wants to
pretty
see
gif-able.
On. Yeah. A guy you want on Pitching Ninja. But no, I do think that he's making tangible changes that you want to see. And so I'm encouraged. I think that as long as he stays healthy, I'm praying he doesn't need Tommy John or something, but he'd be fine. I think he's still young. He's 23 years old. So down the road, no reason why he can't still be performing at a high level. And I think an SP2 would be a reasonable guess on him. And I'll admit, like, if he does turn into that and he sustains what he's doing, like, I'll admit to being wrong, because I had him ranked really low prior to the season just because I didn't think that the strikeout upside was there.
Yep, I am 100% there with you, and I'm glad to see the K rate tick up. People think I hated Dustin May. I didn't. I just didn't. I hated his K rate. It was what I hated. But now that his K rate has ticked up, so is my ranking of Dustin May, and so hopefully this doesn't turn into a long-term issue. A lot of other interesting names in this range. We had a lot of prospects, a lot of young names in this range, more so than others. A couple more Seattle pitching prospects here. Logan Gilbert and Emerson Hancock. I have Hancock 22 and Gilbert 28. Chris flip-flopped his Gilbert 21 and Hancock 26. You know, I legit think that all three of these guys, including George Kirby, could be top 15 caliber pitchers. They all have that type of upside. And even though it's kind of telling that we both have Kirby number one, even though I think he's third out of these three in my prospect rankings right now, that could be changing soon, especially if you keep getting these reports out of him in the minor leagues, like the one you mentioned with from our buddy Chris Welsh. You know, with Gilbert and Hancock, do you think there's ace upside with those two as well for fantasy purposes?
I would say Gilbert probably more than Hancock, but I think they could definitely be SP2s. I think there's more than capable of that. And I think Hancock, he struggled the year before he got drafted, or the year he got drafted, after looking like an ace at Georgia prior. And so, you know, I'm not overly concerned. I think he can get back to form. Haven't heard a lot of what he's done since being drafted, but we'll see him real quick. I mean, minor league season starts up this week, which is exciting. And so that'll be good. And we'll see him down there actually pitching with Kirby, which is interesting. But Gilbert, I think we still see Gilbert up by, you know, the end of May at worst case. They're building him up. We're going to see a couple starts in AAA. He's going to come up. He's ready to perform. He's got the upside. I think that, you know, high NSP2 is a likely outcome. I won't say likely because that's a lofty expectation, but he's capable of doing it. And Hancock also, very, very talented pitcher with a great arsenal of pitches. Solid command. We'll see if that comes back a little bit. He did struggle with that some in his last year prior to being drafted. So we'll see how that comes around. But now this trio of arms is extremely talented and you should be excited about it.
I'm jealous as a Red Sox fan. Yeah, we have some good prospects, but I'm jealous of what Seattle has going on. Have guys like Jared Kelenic and Julio Rodriguez, Nolby Marte, and this trio of arms, especially the trio of arms. Like, I would kill to have one of these three in the Red Sox system right now. Who's our best pitching prospect? Tanner Houck, Jake Groom, who hasn't pitched in 14 years. Then you got guys like Thad Ward and stuff like that. Brian Mazza, more so like number four or five guys rotation long term. So I would kill to have just give me Hancock or give me Gilbert. It's gonna be one of these guys for the Red Sox, because all three of these guys are going to be really, really good long term. Another interesting name that we both have here, I have him 23, you have him 24, is arguably the most famous name in college baseball right now. Kumar Rocker from Vanderbilt, big dude. I think he's like 6'5", 250 in that general range. When comparing him kind of to Gilberts and the Hancocks and the Kirbys of the world, do you think he has a better chance to be a top 10 guy, or do you think those guys have better chances?
I would say they're probably pretty equal. I think Gilbert might get the edge for command by now, but you know, Rocker's got a great arsenal. He's got a great fastball as well, which is exciting. I mean, you look at him and Rocker, and or to him and Leiter, and they're just the 1-2 punch that Vandy has is insane, and the pitchers behind them are insane too. They got this freshman Christian Little who's going to be an absolute stud as well. But man, you can't argue with what Rocker's done this year, and it might even be considered a slight down year from some, but he's still had a 1.7 ERA so far. He's 10-1 on the year in 69 innings. Absolutely dominant. He's got 97 strikeouts, just filthy. The walks have gotten better. The command has improved, which we'll see if that sticks, because that's a big sign. I mean, you know, you look at him in 2019, he walked 1.9 batters per nine. Last year, again, we only got three starts because of shortened season, but he did walk nearly five batters in nine. But to see it back down is encouraging. So if he can keep that up, I think he's more than capable of being a top 10 arm. So those are the things you look for and you like to see. But Rocker's arsenal is more than capable of, you know, putting him at that level. He's got a fantastic fastball slider combo and the changeup's developing. So now I'm a huge fan. I think that he could, honestly, you could probably flip flop him and Leiter in my rankings and I wouldn't argue with you. So they're both very, very good.
Absolutely. You know who he reminds me of? Who I don't know how I didn't think of this comp before. He's very similar to a guy that I ranked top 10 and we talked about earlier, Nate Pearson. Big guy. They're both in that kind of that same body type range. Big fastball, big slider. You know, the rest of the arsenal is, you know, the changeup for him and then the changeup and curveball for Pearson are good, but could use some refinement. I think there's a lot of similarities between Rocker and Pearson. So I think in terms of the star stud upside, I think there's a little higher chance for Kumar Rocker as opposed to an Emerson Hancock or Logan Gilbert, who I love. I love those guys. Obviously, I think they're going to be top 25 arms, SP2s for fantasy purposes. But yeah, I think Rocker could be that guy, especially if he gets that fastball, you know, a little, you know, the velo more consistent. I know he had some velo issues, but looks like those have been corrected. So I think, yeah, the sky's the limit for Kumar Rocker. I would love, there's a chance he follows the Red Sox at four. I would be absolutely ecstatic if that happens, because I think both him and Leiter are absolute studs. Like I said, Vanderbilt is just an absolute factory. They're like the UConn women's basketball team of college baseball. Like if someone goes to UConn women's basketball program, you know that she's going to be pretty damn good. Like same thing, if they want a guy at Vanderbilt, you know that, you know, that guy's probably gonna be pretty damn good once they get their hands on him. So yeah, definitely love Kumar Rocker here as well. Let's move on to the 36 through 50 range. And this is where it really, really gets interesting here. Chris, who do you have 36 through 50?
All right. Yeah, this is where it gets fun. I think this is where you kind of just throw some darts, honestly. And you hate to say that as we rank players, but there's a lot of dart throws here. They could go a lot of ways. Some could end up ranked much higher. Some might not be ranked at all. But all right, 36 is Pablo Lopez. 37 is Alek Manoah. 38, Noah Syndergaard. Thor. 39, Dylan Bundy. 40, Julio Urias. 41, Michael Kopech. 42, Tony Gonsolin. 43, Herman Marquez. 44, Chris Sale. 45, Framber Valdez. 46, Aaron Civale. 47, Casey Mize. 48, Matthew Allen. 49, another Matthew, Matt Manning. And 50, Luis Patino. How about you? Who you got?
I got some similar names here, but And then some other names. I got 36. I have Luis Patino, Spencer Howard at 37, Julio Urias 38, Trevor Rogers 39, Mick Abel at 40. I could not have Mick Abel in here. I would hate myself if I did not have him in here. 41, Luis Severino, who was really hard to rank. I moved him around a few different spots, including not even having him at all. But I think the upside that he's shown warrants him being in here. And you had him, where'd you have? You had him in here somewhere, didn't you?
Yeah, let's see. I had him in the previous tier.
Oh, 34 right there. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I think the upside definitely warrants his inclusion in here. 42, Freddy Peralta, who Chris had in at 35. You know, huge strikeout arm, some command issues. He's almost kind of like where Corbin Burns was a year ago, but doesn't quite have the pitch. I don't think he's going to make a Corbin Burns type of job. He doesn't have the same arsenal as Corbin Burns, but definitely elite strikeout arm. I have Matthew Allen at 43. I think, you know, both Chris and I are very, very high on Matthew Allen. So no surprise that we both had him here. 44, Grayson Rodriguez. 45, Shane McClanahan, who I was very, very impressed with in his debut outing. That fastball slider combination is really, really good. He's hit upper 90s, touching 100 with that fastball with movement. The plus slider, you know, the other two pitches are, you know, average to above average as well. That curveball could be plus if he gets a better feel for it. He hasn't really used it a lot. Hasn't really had to use it a lot. So very, very impressed with Shane McClanahan. And the fact that he's going to be used as a starter and not as an opener or reliever, at least for now, kind of makes me feel better about doing this. Daniel Lynch, 46, who just got called up about an hour before we came on the air tonight. Connor Prelip, lefty out of Alabama, who's kind of one of the guys in running for top overall player in 2022 draft. I threw him in here at 47. Pablo Lopez, 48. Tyler Malley, 49. And Noah Syndergaard at 50. This was probably my toughest section because you had to leave out some really, really good names, some young names, some prospect names here. Let's start with Daniel Lynch because he just got called up. I got to see Lynch, an abbreviated Lynch outings. It was, you know, he was starting the 2019 Arizona Fall League Fall Stars game when he went, I think, just an inning or maybe it was two innings. I forget. I have to look back, but looked really, really good, and he's just looked really good in his minor league career in general. You know, big lefty, can sit mid-90s, can touch upper 90s. He was touching 100 in that abbreviated outing just because he knew he was only going an inning or two, so because it was kind of ramped up a bit. But elite fastball, really good secondary offering. Slider is probably around plus. Also throws a good, pretty solid changeup that's coming along as well. So I think he can be close to a 30% K guy, even though he hasn't really shown that type of bat missing ability. I think the arsenal is just going to continue to miss bats and that K rate is going to continue to tick up and up. So I think he'll get up to near 30% K rates. And the command and control was pretty solid as well. So really everything that you could want from a guy to be a potential frontline starter, or at least a number two type guy, is there. And I think he's up for good as long as he pitches well, because I think Kansas City has shown that they are okay promoting aggressively, especially with their arms. They've shown that. Bubic didn't really pitch well, which is why he got sent back down. But Singer's been up to stay. I think Lynch will be up to stay as well. What are your thoughts, Chris, on Daniel Lynch? I know we both had him in here. Where did you have Lynch? I forget.
Got him just out.
You had him just outside. That's right. But we both have him right around 50, give or take here. So what are your thoughts on Daniel Lynch long term?
Oh, no, I'm definitely a big fan of him. He's very talented, like you mentioned. He's got a good arsenal of four pitches. He's maybe actually five pitches. I'm sorry. He's got improved command. I think the command could probably be plus. Very impressive stuff there. Strikeout stuff, we'll see. He's been kind of fluctuating, you know, throughout his career as far as strikeout numbers. But if he can stick near like a 28 to 30% K rate and walk like 6%, I think the talent's definitely there for him to be a great arm. You mentioned he's got fastball slider that are, you know, above average to plus pitches. Curveball is a solid pitch. Changeup's developing. He's got a cutter as well. So I like those a lot. Great arsenal. I'll be watching to see if he misses bats. I think that's the biggest thing, is if he can miss bats. So we'll be watching that closely as he's now called up and he's making his debut, which will be very exciting. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully well, because we love to see these prospects come up and succeed. So I'm excited for Lynch to make this debut.
Absolutely, as am I. Been a name I've loved ever since his days at Virginia. Love the arm, love the stuff. Like you mentioned, the five pitches. I see with that fastball slider combination leading the way. Yes, he's definitely, I think, could be one that really rises up rankings. And if he's available, go out and get him in redraft leagues as well. I know we don't talk redraft leagues in here, but just go out and get him. The upside's worth it. If he doesn't work out, fine. You use it as like a, you know, you drop him and go on to another streamer or another prospect, whoever it may be. But another interesting name in this range for you that I had in the previous range here, Michael Kopech. And I think we've talked about him before where, you know, we weren't sure how he was going to be used long term. And, you know, this the floor was kind of a lot lower on him than we would like. But the upside is obviously there. So I think we both think that Kopech has got to figure it out and be a pretty elite arm here moving forward. So are you just, you know, was him getting that start and looking good? Was it last week before? Did that ease some of your concerns about him moving forward?
Yeah, I think so. And he's shown much improved command this year, which is awesome to see. And you know, the walk rate is down. You know, in the minors, he was ticking anywhere from 10 to 15%, which was, you know, kind of scary. The strikeout rates, you know, he's going to be a monster. I'm definitely pleased with the progress he's made. And I think that he could probably make this ranking that I have look pretty silly. I think he could be much higher if these kind of numbers stick. You know, he's more than capable of being probably an ace. I think he's got ace upside if you're looking at pitchers that just have that kind of upside. But the floor is pretty low as well. But yeah, I think that he's more than capable, and I'm excited. I hope this progress continues.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you mentioned, the command and control has looked a little better here. And if that can continue to tick forward, I agree. Like, I have him 31, and I think that might even be too low. Like, he definitely has fantasy ace upside. He misses enough bats. The K rate is going to be elite. And like I said before, I was more upset about losing him in the Chris Sale deal years ago than I was with losing Yoan Moncada. And I still am that same way to this day. I think Kopech has higher upside in general. So very interesting there. One I wanted to ask you about, a couple I wanted to ask you about here that I didn't have. You have Dylan Bundy at 39 and Herman Marquez at 43. So kind of take us through what your reasoning was behind including those two guys in your top 50 here.
Yeah, of course. You know, Bundy made a major step forward last season. You know, he got out of Baltimore. He looked absolutely dominant in Los Angeles. And, you know, he's been decent this year. I won't say he's been great. He's got a 4.2 ERA in 30 innings, but the peripherals look good. He's got a 3.46 ERA and a 3.99 FIP, which is always encouraging. The strikeout rate's actually up from last year, and the walk rate is just right in line with what he did last year. So some encouraging signs still. I think that the ERA, we see it tick back down. You know, he's only 28 years old. He doesn't have a ton of mileage on his arm, and I could totally see this progression sticking. And if it does, then, you know, I think this ranking would be fine. I don't see him being like a top 20 arm by any means, or, you know, even really top 30 probably. But, you know, this range, I feel comfortable having him at. And I think that, you know, he'll just be a solid guy. I think he's not going to be like a standout on your team, but he's going to be a solid pitcher that you need in your rotation to give you kind of a decent floor. And I think that the floor is a little higher than we once thought it was, which is encouraging. And so, again, we'll see if this kind of progression sticks. But from what I've seen so far this year, I'm encouraged that he can take that, or he can keep that step that he took forward from last season. And then you mentioned Herman Marquez, and this is a tough one, man. I really hope that he gets out of Colorado because, man, you know, even the splits this year aren't great. And some he's like a weird unicorn where sometimes he just pitches so well in Coors and you don't get it. But he's very talented. I don't know. I'd argue that he could be a lot higher if he did get out of Coors because I think that the talent level's there, and we haven't seen it. You know, he's been okay but not great the last several years, but prior, man, I just thought that he could have been like a top 20 starting pitcher despite Coors, which is, you know, that seems a little crazy in my opinion. But, you know, he's got a 4.13 ERA right now. He's rocking about a strikeout per nine, which is back up. Last year he was down a little bit strikeout wise. And so he's capable of going deep into games too, which is what I like to see. He's got a, you know, a solid frame, solid arm. And I'm just hoping this stuff sticks and he can keep going deep into games. Maybe he gets out of Colorado. who knows where he ends up. But I think the talent level's more than there. We saw that breakout back in 2018. And I'm hoping he can get back to that kind of level. And we'll see. It's kind of a wild card pick. But you know, if he does leave and he gains some of these things back, I think he'll be very solid.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks in this range, a lot of what ifs and, you know, projection, obviously, because we're going 5 years out and this is the back end of our top 50. Lastly here, the Detroit trio, the big three-headed pitching prospect monster in Detroit. I guess two of them aren't prospects anymore. Matt Manning, Casey Mize, and Tarik Skubal. You had Casey Mize in here at 47, and you had Matt Manning at 49. Did not rank Tarik Skubal. Same with me. I did not rank Tarik Skubal here either. Mize just missed for me. I just wonder what the K rate is going to be with him, if it'll be high enough. I think it'll be very solid arm, very reliable fantasy arm. I just wonder if the K rate will be high enough to get up there, especially with all these other names we have on here. That's not slight to Mize. This is so many good names on this list. But with me, I had Matt Manning 19. And let me just kind of defend that a minute here, because I know I'm the higher person on Manning around now. I'm sure there's some that are as high as me, but some of those have kind of backed off a little bit. Maybe I think there's some more weep list there, which I see. I'm not saying I don't see it, but just seeing Manning live 2019 and all the video I've watched on him, I think he has, if he can rein in the changeup and continue to develop that and refine the command of it more so, I think there's 3+ pitches there. That changeup flashes plus movement. He threw some really, really good ones. He's to harness it more, get a better feel for it, which, again, it's a pitch that he didn't used to throw a ton of curveball. Would love to see him add. I think a cutter would be absolutely devastating for Matt Manning or something, maybe even a slider or something like that. The curveball and fastball are already plus offerings. Curveball, double plus. So when it comes to these three, you know, Detroit arms, I think he's got the – him and Skubal both have a ton of K upside, but Manning has the much better all-run arsenal, in my opinion, better breaking stuff. I mean, off-speed stuff, I should say. And then he just has a much higher – probably has a lower floor than Mize, but I think the upside is there. So I think he's going to be a big-time strikeout source, and I think he's going to get that changeup better. And I think he's going to be, you know, three-pitch monster. And if he can add another fourth pitch in there, like I said, cutter, slider, sinker, something like that, I think he's going to be that much better. But we both don't have Tarik Skubal in here. Are you kind of concerned there's some relief risk with Skubal, or is it more so the arsenal for you that kept him out? For me, it was kind of a combination of both, right? Like, I do think there's some relief risk there, but I think he's just going to be a high K guy, but the ratios maybe won't be great. Maybe like he's a poor man's Gio Gonzalez, back when Gio Gonzalez was pretty good like a decade ago. I see some similarities there, but just so you know, the ratios aren't really as low as we would hope. Is that kind of where you were thinking with Tarik Skubal as well?
Yeah, and crazy enough, I think there's some, you know, Robbie Ray-esque stuff.
Well, like, yeah.
When you look at it, like velo, movement, arsenal types things, which, you know, I hope that we don't, that's not his final outcome, but I think there's probably some more relief risk than people are willing to admit. And the strikeouts have been down a little bit this year, which is, you know, even more concerning. He's given up a lot of hard contact. I don't know. You struggle with know what to do with him, but he's still young, so you got to give him time. He's only 24. It's possible he jumps back on this list, but we'll see. I think he's still a work in progress, but there is some relief risk here. And then you mentioned Manning. I think Manning has a chance to be the best of the bunch, in my opinion. Mize is still struggling to be a major league arm, and Mize has had some injury problems in the past, and it wouldn't surprise me to see him struggle again too. So I have Mize ahead right now in this, but don't be surprised at all if Manning takes that leap, which, you know, I think he's more than capable of. So a talented trio of arms, but the final results, hard to say. I don't know where and what they look like down the road. We'll see.
Yeah, I think Mize definitely has the highest floor of the bunch. I think that's pretty easy to say. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how these three kind of pan out 5 years down the road. They all should be viable fantasy arms. Just how good will they be is really the question here. All right, real quick, because we're getting a little long here on time, some notable omissions and some dark horses here. We'll start with the notable omissions. Some ones that we both looked through on here, like Clayton Kershaw, Yu Darvish, Lance Lynn, Strasburg, Plezac, Max Scherzer, Sonny Gray, Mike Clevenger. You know, these are both, you know, guys that we both put on here as notable omissions on the list here that just missed. Chris, who are out of this group, who was like the one or two guys that were the hardest to omit here from this top 50 for you?
Probably Kershaw. He's older, but then again, you mean he could be pitching at a decent level at that age, but I don't know. It's hard to say. And a lot of these guys are age related. I bet Max Scherzer is going to be retired 5 years down the road. Sonny Gray's one. You know, I think he's 30 or 31, so he'll be a little younger, which, yeah, you say that. I feel like he should be. I feel like he's like 28, not 31, but you know, right. Mike Clevenger's another one. His age has kind of snuck up on us. So these guys just kind of hard to miss. And Zach Plesac's one as well, who, you know, some people were all in on Plesac this year. Adam, it's like a top 20 arm, even higher by some. And I don't know. He's just not been great this year. So it's hard to admit him because I think the talent level is there, but we'll see what to do with him. He's a kind of question mark, but I did leave him out, and he could be one that jumps back in. I mean, he did throw 5.5 2/3 shutout innings today. I guess that would be yesterday as you're listening to this against the White Sox, which was encouraging. So maybe he's taking that step back forward. So we'll see how it goes. But yes, he was one that was, you know, younger one that was hard to leave out. Most of these were just age related omissions.
Yeah, and for me, I think the two hardest were Kershaw. He'll be like, what, 37 or so, but the same age as Max Scherzer is now. It feels like Kershaw's older, doesn't it? Like, he's only like 32 and a half or something like that. It feels like he should be like 36 already with how long he's been around.
Right.
But I still think he'll be pretty good. I just wonder the age, the, you know, the injuries he has, and these don't get better with age. Like, it's just like it's really back issues. They don't get better with age, so I just wonder how much he's pitching then. Like, is he only like 120 inning guy? I don't know. It's hard to say how he's going to look then when he's age 37, 38. I had him in originally, ended up bumping him out. So he's probably one of my first cuts here. So that was definitely the hardest one. Another one, hard one for me. Well, Chris Sale was too, because he's a Red Sox ace and I think he's still going to be an elite strikeout guy, but again, how does he look then? He's had some elbow injuries and the throwing motion. I don't see him being a guy that's dominating into his mid to late 30s, at least not consistently. I think he'll still show flashes because he has the stuff, but I just don't think he'll be that every start ace type guy getting into his mid to late 30s with all the injuries and that throwing motion. I just don't see that happening. He was a hard one. And then Mike Soroka, I know Chris had him somewhere in the low 30s, I think. He was one hard one for me. I just don't see the K rate getting there. Like, and you mentioned kind of the similarities between him and Dustin May. I just don't think the stuff is as good with Soroka. I think he's got a good sinker, you know, good slider. I just don't know if he makes that adjustment. I think the K rate can tick up, but I don't know if we'll see it to the point where Dustin May is. I think Dustin May is just like Mike Soroka on steroids. And I think when he has that cutter and the curveball, I just don't see Soroka getting quite to that level. And if his K rate doesn't tick up and he's just more like a solid ratios guy, I think he's going to be, you know, SP4 or 5, something like that, but not more an SP2 or 3, though he could. I think there's definitely a chance that he makes that Dustin May progression and gets the K rate up there. We'll see. I'm just not quite as confident in him making that rate, that jump, I should say, in K rate as I was with Dustin May around a year ago or so. Some dark horses here. Chris, who are your 10 dark horses? And if you could pick one of these guys to have the best chance of jumping up into, let's say, the top 25, who would that be?
All right. So I got Simeon Woods Richardson, Ryan Weathers, Forrest Whitley, Quinn Priester, Grayson Rodriguez, Ryan Cusick, who is a Wake Forest arm. He'll be in the draft this summer. Daniel Lynch, Dalton Jeffries, Slade Ciani, and Chris Rodriguez. And I am actually going to take Chris Rodriguez as my arm that can make a huge
jump. The one I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, there's a real chance that he ends up an elite closer too. Like, it could go either way. And I think the upside's there for him to be. So Chris Rodriguez would be my pick. And if not, then I'm going to go with Simeon Woods Richardson, who I think is going to just really explode this year. He's still young, but man, he's extremely solid. He's really developing and coming into his own. I think he'll arguably be a top 50 overall prospect and, you know, one of the top pitching prospects in the game this year. So Simeon Woods Richardson, Chris Rodriguez, both those guys, I think can make a big step forward. Who'd you think I was taking?
I thought you were going to go like Grayson Rodriguez or yeah. Priester or something like that. Maybe yeah. Daniel Lynch.
Both of them yeah. are more than capable. I agree.
Yeah, you surprised me. I like Chris Rodriguez too. I definitely agree that the stuff is there for pretty good value one way or the other. But yeah, you definitely surprised me with that pick. So my 10 dark horses here, I'll start with a couple prep arms from this upcoming draft. Chase Petty, Jackson Jobe, both this electric arms. They'd be very early in their career here, but the upside with both of them is off the chart. So I figured I'd throw them in there. I think there's a chance. Ryan Cusick, as Chris had as well. Sam Bachman of Miami of Ohio, elite stuff type of guy, probably going first round in July here. Daniel Espino, Hunter Green, Simeon Woods Richardson, Forrest Whitley, and Quinn Priester. So we had some, you know, five or six that overlap here. I think if I had to pick one with the best chance, I think I'd go Daniel Espino. I just love that arsenal. So freak. It's one of my top five favorite arsenals in terms from pitching prospects right now. Just the four potential above average to plus pitches, fastball, curveball, slider, changeup, elite bat missing ability. It looks like the command and control, which is still a work in progress. It looks like that has made some developments, and he's in an absolutely perfect system to maximize that and maximize the arsenal and get that command and control up. I say he's in Cleveland. You know, it's the three systems I feel most confident in developing pitching prospects are Cleveland, the Dodgers, and Tampa Bay, and he's in Cleveland. So feel really good about that. Just that system with the stuff. I think he has the potential to be an absolute stud. So I think he has the highest percent chance of this group of 10 to get up in the top 25 long-term. But all right, that's going to wrap up this episode. We hope that everyone enjoyed it and that it was beneficial to you in your Dynasty Leagues. Again, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at EricCross04. Chris is at RotoClegg, and our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. Make sure to check out our Patreon and all of the great written work at FantraxHQ.com. We'll be back with you all again next week with more Dynasty and Prospect Talk. But until then, everyone take care.
Want to create a breakthrough gene therapy or life-saving vaccine? Pioneer aerospace excellence? Take your hospitality tech brand international? Montgomery County, Maryland is where you can do all that and more. Use our ideal location next to DC, diverse world-class talent, and our vast business resources to be the next company to make your mark and transform the world. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com. That's bnext.thinkmoco.com to learn how we can help you create something remarkable.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.